Bibles this morning. We're going to continue our series on the Ten Commandments. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. And we've gone over before why we study the commandments. Well, we better be studying those commandments because that's the first place the devil went, is try to get rid of the commandments. Get rid of them out of the schools, out of the public forum, anywhere that they see the Ten Commandments, the devil has a hissy fit and tries to get rid of them. Why? Because the goodness of God is displayed in those commandments, and the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And that law becomes our schoolmaster, converting the soul. And that's one of the reasons I got saved. I had Sunday school teachers who were smart enough to teach me those commandments. Everything in my life as a boy, before those commandments came along, instead of thou shalt not, mine was thou shalt do whatever you want to. And I let everybody know that I was going to do just exactly as I pleased. And God said, well, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. So it had to either be me in charge or allow God to be in charge. That's where it is with everyone. It's either submission is all that it's ever been, in salvation or sanctification. So let me get to our text here. Exodus 20. And today we're going to be on the third commandment. But it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods. Here they are. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now that's talking about something that you attach worship to. Remember over there in Jeremiah where Jeroboam was doing all that stuff, and it said, and this thing became a sin. Whenever you make a god out of anything or attach worship to something, it becomes a sin. He said, thou shalt not bow down thyself before them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, quickly, and we'll get into that when we get to this commandment. That is the Jewish Sabbath, and that was a covenant between God and the Jew. Even though God's example was a great example for us to follow, when 6 days he created heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. That's a good example that God set. But we're not under the ceremonial law of the Sabbath, and we'll see later when we get into that, that was between God and the nation of Israel. All right, where was it? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. I remember telling the story about Mark Cameron. Was a dean of students at Tennessee Temple and had a seaside mission to the Jews in Sebring, Florida. And a Jewish fellow was telling him that he kept the whole law. And Brother Cameron said, is that right? And I said, yes, sir, I keep the whole law. He said, well, do you keep the Sabbath? He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, do you work 6 days? Guy scratched his head a little bit. See how easy you can get sideways with God whenever you start thinking you've got it all figured out. Said 6 days thou shalt thou labor. We're all guilty of that. I mean, Tim Woods hasn't worked 6 days since Hitler was a corporal. I'm kidding. I'm messing with you, Tim. No, Tim's a working fool. He loves to work, don't you, Tim? He does. In fact, I heard that he quit school because he didn't like recess. I mean, he loves to work. All right, let me move on. But I'm getting out of control here, Brother Woods here. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Don't say anything about your wife. I noticed that. Boy, this is going to be a tough crowd this morning. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's called the commandment with promise. You honor your father and mother, long life. Thou shalt not kill. Now over in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 19, the Lord defines the commandment in Matthew as being murder. Remember, the fellow came up to the Lord and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, well, you know the commandments. Thou shalt do no murder. The Lord has that authority. The author has the authority to interpret his own work. That's it. So the Lord interpreted thou shalt not kill over in Matthew as thou shalt not murder. And then if you look through the Levitical law, you'll see the different types of homicide where someone comes upon someone unawares and the manslaughter thing. All that's listed. So a soldier or a police officer having to kill somebody in the line of duty does not violate this statute. It said they bear not the sword in vain. They're ministers of God that we might lead a peaceable life. Let me move on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Wow. That kind of lines up with love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to do those things to your neighbor. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to lie to him. You're not going to chase his wife around. But love thy neighbor as thyself. All right. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. My, God is good. Let me pray here just a second. We'll get into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. And thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this precious word. Thank you for your truth, Lord. We pray that you would put down any high thing that might exalt itself against the knowledge of God this morning. Fill each heart here, Lord, with your mercy and grace, Lord, and a teachable spirit. And let us look back at these commandments that you gave Israel, and let us learn where you stand, where you've drawn that line, Lord, as something that being an offense to you, Lord. Help me, hold me up by the power of God today, Lord, and hide me behind the cross. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thou shalt, we're in the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. My. See, God places great importance upon his name. Hallowed be thy name, he told the disciples. This is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Nehemiah 9:5 says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You know, America is a nation known for great cussers. Man, I think in some of the areas of our county, the next county, those folks, the farmers, they cuss like 30-year Navy men, you know, and that becomes a habit. Now, there's a lot of things I can tolerate. Filthy language is not taking the Lord's name in vain. It's just filthy conversation. Remember, Lot said, the Bible said about Lot, he was vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. I'm talking about using flippantly and lightly the name of the Lord our God. That's what God's talking about. I mean, using bad language is one thing. Christians shouldn't be using bad language. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But folks, they'll take the name of God, Jesus, and Christ. They'll use it in daily conversation in a cursing, derogatory manner. The world we live today, the American, average American public school girl can out-cuss a 30-year Navy man. That's right. Man. Those young girls can out-cuss. They can cuss now. I thought I could cuss, but some of those young girls can cuss. When I was a teenager, I remember some of my cousins. I was about 10 years old, and we was out there trying to out-cuss each other. What's that about? Stupidity? If my mama heard me saying that, I would have got the belt. Back in those days, it was the belt. Yes, I was an abused child, very much. And then I became Tom the Troubled Teen. Let me move on here. What does it mean to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? Okay, Webster defines the word vain as having no substance. It's no value or importance. He goes on to say to take the name of God in vain, to use the name of God with levity or profaneness. I like the word flippant. Just not a big deal. Sure, it's a big deal. You know, I can be around a lot of cussing, but when folks start taking the Lord's name in vain, it grieves my spirit. I want to get away from them. I want to go somewhere else. Webster defines levity as a want of due consideration. To speak irreverently of the name of the Lord. It says that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. That's in Deuteronomy 28:58 that David spoke of God with reverence. Psalms 83:18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. All right, notice the judgment of the young man who cursed God over in Leviticus. Leviticus 24:10. I'll read it. I've got some verses there. A passage says, and the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp, and the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelemith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let it all be heard. Him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Duh. Stone him. Watch out when you start taking God's name in vain. I'm afraid to. I fear God. I don't have to be looking over my shoulder for a lightning bolt. They profess that they know God, the Bible says in Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Paul wrote Jewish Christians in Rome, and what I'm talking about here is kind of on the fringe where a person's life betrays your profession of faith. Paul wrote Jewish Christians in Rome and said, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Romans 2:24. Their verbal profession had been inconsistent. What they said, oh, I love Jesus and I follow Jesus and I'm going to do everything Jesus says, but their life speaks a different story. Verbal profession had been inconsistent, Romans 2:24, with their lives, and consequently, it was an occasion of blasphemy. My mama used to talk about folks who don't worship from the heart, but they worship from the teeth out. Too many that worship God with their lips, but not with the heart. God calls for the heart. In Proverbs 23:26, he says, my son, give me thine heart. You fall in love with Jesus, you're not going to be blaspheming his name. How about profaning and abusing his word? Peter tells us that there would be those who would profane the word of God by speaking scornfully. Those prophets would say, this, it's going to happen. He's coming. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. They'd scorn him. They'd scorn him. 2 Peter 3:3 first. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. We've got them today. If somebody starts talking about Jesus Christ and God's righteousness and God's holiness, that crowd said, that's not for me. That's foolishness. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, they said he's coming. Where is he at? It's basically what they were saying. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Scoffing at God. All right, how about speaking evil of God? The people spake against God. That's in Numbers 21:5. In Philippians 2:11, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My. A fellow named Thomas Watson, I'll read this, wrote this. He said, a woman told her husband that of her three sons, one of them only was his. The father dying desires the executors to find out which was the true natural son and bequeath all his estate to him. And the father being dead, the executor set up his corpse against a tree and delivered to every one of these three sons a bow and arrows, telling them, he that who could shoot nearest the father's heart should have the whole estate. Two sons shot as near as they could to his heart, but the third felt nature to work in him that he refused to shoot. Whereupon the executors judged him to be the true son, and gave him all the estate. Such are the true children of God, fear to shoot at him, but such are his bastards and not sons. Care not, though they shoot at him in heaven with their oaths and curses. Thomas Watson, he was born in 1620, wrote that. I mentioned earlier, taking the Lord's name in vain is very different than just having bad language. Dirty language should grieve the Christian. A lot of times, our addictions program and other things lead somebody to the Lord. And I'll encourage them, practice not throwing the F-bomb 700 times a day. Because it's hard to get two sentences out without using that word for some of the young people today. It's craziness. Taking the name of God in vain grieves the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God that indwells you. You remember Lot and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. It says in verse 8 in 2 Peter 2, it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So as a Christian, we should be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Like I said, anybody in the workplace, you work a construction job, anything, you know, you're going to hear filthy language. That don't mean you got to join in the conversation with filthy language. It's when they start taking the name of the Lord in vain. I want to go somewhere else. I don't want to hear it. There's a fellow around Milan hung out with one of my brothers. All he did was cuss, and he'd take the Lord's name in vain. One day I told him, I said, you cuss too much. That's all I told him. You cuss too much. Any at all is too much. And the problem with a lot of Christians today is that we don't fight them, we just join them. Job 6, verse 30 says, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? And Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. I mean, God tells you what he wants you to do and what he wants you not to do. Today we're talking about the third commandment. Shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. It should grieve your spirit. If you've got the Holy Ghost indwelling you, it should grieve that spirit whenever you're around that kind of language. Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a forward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Proverbs 9 and verse 1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Behold the Lord's hand, Isaiah 59:1, behold the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now let me stop there a minute and let you know that's an Old Testament passage to the Jew under the law. We know that our audience with God now is not based upon anything we do, but based upon Christ. So you need to separate the two covenants. You need to understand it. But your iniquities will keep God from blessing you. But we have boldness and access because of the faith of him. It's the Lord's faithfulness that gives me access. It isn't how good I've been. That's something you need to learn in your Christian walk. Well, I'm a mess. God isn't going to hear my prayer. Why not? And this is the confidence that we have in him, knowing that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And we know if he hear us, we have the petitions we desired of him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Don't say in the Son of God or on the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's his faithfulness that gives me access today. But my lifestyle can sure prevent God from blessing me. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't want God whooping up on me because of my bad mouth or anything else for that matter. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I was in Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Philippians 2:15, Paul said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Well, if you're going to shine as a light in the world, you need to clean up your language. You need to set yourself apart from this worldly crowd and the common four-letter words that they so often throw out in daily conversation. We've all run into it. If you've worked a job, you've run into that stuff. And everyone has to deal with that in a way, hopefully, that pleases the Lord. I mean, I don't expect anybody to pull out a gun and blow the guy away, you know. But somehow you need to let him know that taking the Lord's name in vain bothers you, offends you, offends your spirit within you, grieves the spirit that's in you. Paul said this in Philippians 4:8. He said, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, isn't that good? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Need to clean up that potty mouth if you're a Christian. Do your best. Work on it. Practice keeping that craziness out of your vocabulary. You want the blessings of God. You want God to entreat for you. But you call on God. I know that I have access because of Christ. That don't mean he's going to give me everything I ask for when I'm cussing like a 30-year Navy man and living like a dog. That's why God gave the commandments. He wants you to clean it up. So why don't we study those commandments? We'll get back to where we started. We know that Jesus Christ didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. The Bible says the commandment is pure and it's holy and it's good. The commandments are pure and they're holy and they're good. But since Jesus Christ died on the cross, we as Christians do not get our righteousness from the commandments, from the law. It says, for Jesus became the end of the law for righteousness. Don't say it became the end of the law and stop there. It says he became the end of the law for righteousness to all that believe. So the commandment's still good. I still want to keep the commandments, but I'm not considered righteous in God's eyes because of the law. I'm considered righteous because of Jesus Christ, because I'm in Christ. Does that make sense? Now, for the unconverted, they read those commandments and be taught those commandments, and it brings them under conviction. When I was a boy and those teachers started teaching me those Ten Commandments, After a while, I began to see myself. I saw God first where he was. I saw God that he was holy and pure and righteous. And the goodness of God began to lead me to repentance. And that law became a schoolmaster, converting my soul. And it drew me and brought me to Jesus Christ, because I saw myself in relationship to his holiness and to his righteousness. And I was a rat. Can I say that in church? I was a rat. You dirty rat. That's who I was before God. I cried out to God. He was holy, and boy, I sure wasn't. What am I going to do? What am I going to do if I have to face that guy? What am I going to claim if I have to face that holy God who's pure and holy and clean and righteous? Man, I'm a mess. I'm in a mess. You know what I need? I don't want justice. Justice would send me to hell, pay for my sins. I need mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. That's what I needed. That's what we all need. And that mercy showed up in the form of Jesus Christ. What a God, what a merciful, loving God. Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's what I needed. I needed to be born again. I needed to crucify this old body of flesh and nail it to Calvary's cross with my Lord. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. It would either be me, my death, paying for my sin, or I could allow Jesus Christ and his death to be the propitiation for my sins. I chose the latter. I didn't want to go to hell. I was afraid of God. Say, well, to fear the Lord, the preacher said that means reverential respect. You'll think reverential respect. I don't want to fall into the hands of a holy, righteous, just God in my sins. Thank God for Jesus Christ. I've got a Savior who loved me, who died in my place, justified me by his blood, from which all things, I'm justified from all things which a man cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, forgive me when I've used your name flippantly or lightly and in vain. That's the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. All right, next week we'll try to go beyond that and get maybe one or two more of the commandments in. We do this about every 3 years. We teach the Ten Commandments. Kind of bring you back to square one, where God is. We know where God stands on these things, on these issues. We'll talk about the ceremonial laws, those things that apply to Israel that don't necessarily apply to the body of Christ. We'll look at that. But in the meantime, remember what you say, how you say it. You'll be judged by that. People will judge you. You don't want to offend God with your conversation. I'm done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, Lord. And we ask that you'd go with us during the worship service today. And I know we've got part of our folks out, Lord, but help us to honor you, Lord. Let it be pleasing to you, Lord, and let the rest of us just get in on it, Lord. Fill this place with the Holy Ghost of God, and hold me up by the power of your might, Lord, and fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we'll take a break.